So it's batch number two of local news and features. We have four more news stories for you. It's Tim and Liz. And Liz's headlines are...
Save our ceramics. Pottery workers demand government action on gas prices. And Stoke-on-Trent will not control our area. Plan backed for a super council.
And my headlines are over 800 free Stoke-on-Trent activities this summer with a full list and how to book. And Tory Jonathan Gillis repeats rant on medieval attitudes of migrants on GB News. So over to Liz, who's going to do the first story for us in batch two.
Save our ceramics. Pottery workers demand government action on gas prices. Pottery workers have called on the government for more help with eye-watering energy costs after the new industrial master plan crucially ignored the effects of gas prices. The industrial strategy announced measures to tackle electricity costs in energy-intensive sectors from 2027. It backed eight high-potential industries, including the ceramics industry in Stoke-on-Trent, but the plan is to tackle only electricity prices, with no mention of gas, the primary fuel of the pottery industry. The price of gas is now six times higher than in 2022 and was among the factors blamed for the collapse of two city pot banks, Royal Stafford and Moorcroft, earlier this year. Both companies have since been revived, despite the loss of dozens of jobs. Now pottery workers and the GMB union are calling on the government to increase support for the sector. Sharon Yates, a pottery worker for 33 years, is a GMB rep. She said, "We're calling on central government to help us with gas prices. It's gas that is the central one we need to help with. Helping us with electricity in 2027 isn't going to work. My belief is that if the government helped us with gas prices, then the factories in Stoke-on-Trent could stabilise more." She said, "Immediate help with the standing charges, which are two-thirds higher than gas prices, would be welcomed." She continued, "We're hemorrhaging at the moment, and we need to stop that. A lot of people say the pottery industry is dead. It's not. There are thousands who still work in the pottery industry. What people see is Royal Doulton and Ainslie China, all that's gone. We need to concentrate on what's happening now, and the government needs to support the factories in Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire with gas prices." Sharon said she took pride from seeing Stoke-on-Trent's ceramic sector reference in the industrial strategy as manufacturing essential for the UK. But she said, "We've made a big step being recognised in the strategy, but now we've got to take those steps to build on that so that we're supported by the government." Ceramics UK, the trade body which represents the industry, has also claimed that the sector has been misled over the industry strategy. They claim support promised for the pottery industry has not materialised. Rob Fallow, chief executive of Ceramics UK, said, "We feel misled. Where is the proposed support either in the government's recent spending review or the industrial strategy? Instead, we have an industrial strategy that fails to meaningfully support or understand the UK ceramic sector, despite previous public recognition by government of its challenges and national importance. This represents a missed opportunity to back one of the UK's most enduring and strategically important manufacturing industries."
Okay, so my next story now in batch number two is over 800 free Stoke-on-Trent activities this summer and a full list on how to book. So families across Stoke-on-Trent can access more than 800 free activities to keep children entertained during the summer holidays. The activities are part of the Holiday Activities and Food HAF programme, which is delivered by Stoke-on-Trent City Council in partnership with the Hub Foundation. The summer HAF programme is for children aged 5 to 16 years old, including 4-year-old children enrolled in reception at Stoke-on-Trent schools during the 2024 to 2025 academic year. who are eligible for benefits related to free school meals, running from Monday the 21st of July to Friday the 29th of August. The scheme offers free, fun-filled activities with a healthy meal provided at every session. There's a huge range on offer, from circus skills and swimming to performing arts and creative crafts, taking place at schools, leisure centres and community venues across the city. There's also a large range of sessions with SEND provision, meaning children with special educational needs and disabilities can also enjoy the fun. Councillor Sarah Jane Colclough, Cabinet Member for Children's Services, Stoke-on-Trent City Council, said, "We want to make sure that every child in Stoke-on-Trent can have a fun, active summer. The HAF programme is a brilliant way to get children involved in exciting activities, enjoy healthy meals and make new friends, all for free. If you live in the city and have a child in reception to Year 11, go to the Hub Foundation website and see what's on offer near you." Adam Yates, Chief Operating Officer at the Hub Foundation, added, "It is shaping up to be another amazing summer of opportunities for the children and family in our city to access free provision. The Hub team, along with the local authority, have worked incredibly hard to create fantastic sessions filled with a huge array of exciting activities and experiences to make sure this summer is one to remember." The Department for Education's HAF funding primarily supports children who receive free school meals. However, in Stoke-on-Trent, a unique partnership between Stoke-on-Trent City Council and the Hub Foundation means more children across the city are able to access the activities programme. So over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us in Batch 2.
Stoke-on-Trent will not control our area. Plan backed for Super Council. District councillors have backed controversial proposals for a North Staffordshire Unitary Authority. Labour and independent members on Staffordshire Moorlands District Council, that's SMDC, voted to endorse the plan as the authority's preferred option for local government reorganisation in Staffordshire. But Conservative opposition councillors voted against the motion at this month's council assembly meeting, despite some describing the North Staffordshire unitary model as the least worst option. The proposal would see the county divided into northern and southern unitary authorities, replacing the 10 existing councils. SMDC's proposed North Staffordshire unitary would cover Stoke-on-Trent, Newcastle and the Moorlands, as well as Stone and Uttoxeter. The government is carrying out the biggest overhaul of councils since the 1970s, which will see new unitaries in charge of all local council services, replace the existing counties and districts. Councils have been given until November to come up with their final proposals for unitarisation, with the government set to make the final decision. SMDC's extended North Staffordshire proposal was recommended unanimously by a cross-party committee of Labour, Conservative and Independent councillors. Supporters say it will result in two financially sustainable authorities of similar size, and would also meet the government's requirement for sensible geographical and economic areas. Council leader Mike Gledhill and his fellow Labour councillors believe the proposal will be the best option for the people of the Moorlands and would improve on a North Staffordshire model that does not include Stone and Uttoxeter. Councillor Gledhill said, "What strikes us is that with the other options, the balance is wrong. You can see there's a population gap. It's not just population, you have to see that gap in terms of finance. You're talking about lower council tax and business rates. You also have to consider growth areas. In the south, you can look at the A38 corridor, the M6 and the I-54 corridor." I don't know what that is, or if they mean M54. It's lowercase I-54 corridor. "Growth is really concentrated in the south. We can't do a great deal about that. We can't move motorways. But in our proposal, more of the major growth area of the A50 corridor would be moved into the north and gives greater option to lessen the gaps with the south. That's really important." Mr. Gledhill said there would be extensive consultation with residents, parish councils and other stakeholders, with a further council assembly meeting to be held before the November deadline. But he insisted that it would be the government rather than local people which would make the final decision. Independent group leader Linda Mallion said she remained opposed to local government reorganisation, but argued that the enlarged North Staffordshire model would be better than any other unitary proposal. She said, "Not one of us in this room wants this to happen, but we have no choice. Saying no to Stoke is a great political gambit, but have you come up with an alternative that is financially sound and sustainable? This option will not let Stoke-on-Trent control our area. The City Council will no longer exist, nor will the other authorities. This option is financially sound and sustainable. It has the makings of something that will ensure that the areas covered will flourish and prosper." The cross-party committee considered three other options, including the model proposed by the previous Conservative administration at Staffordshire County Council. This would see a single county-wide unitary for Staffordshire, with Stoke-on-Trent remaining separate. Conservative district councils argued that SMDC should wait for the county council's new Reform UK leaders to put forward their proposals before backing any one option. Tory group leader Mark Deville also called for a far-reaching consultation on the local government reorganisation to start immediately. He said, "The potential changes that we're talking about are massive. These changes will shape future services for this area, future representation, and will shape our community identity for decades to come. The massive concern I have is that we aren't considering four options. The new County Council administration have not yet published their proposal. I think all of us want to see and fully understand their proposals. If we don't consider that option, we would not be properly representing the people of the Moorlands." Councillor Deville also noted that the Council Assembly would not be making a final decision at the meeting, comparing the situation to a pre-season friendly, with the playoff final coming in November. The councillors voted 27-16 in favour of making the extended North Staffordshire model SMDC's preferred option. The Council Assembly also voted in favour of creating three locality champions, one from each of the three main political groups. These will work to ensure effective engagement with locality representatives during the local government reorganisation process.
So my final story now in batch number two is Tory Jonathan Gillis repeats rant on medieval attitudes of migrants on GB News. Tory Jonathan Gillis has repeated his views on the medieval attitudes of illegal migrants. The Kidsgrove Mayor and former Stoke-on-Trent North MP expressed his views on GB News. It followed a suggestion from a viewer that asylum seekers should be housed in Liberal Democrat constituencies. Mr. Gillis told viewers, "I've said it before, we have fighting age men between the age of 18 and 39. In fact, 74% of them were between 18 and 39 between 2018 and 2022, who are coming over into this country with their medieval attitude towards women and particularly towards children as well. And they are coming in and raping our women, murdering people on the streets, working illegally, supplying the drug trade and the black market too. It's extremely worrying and dangerous, and the fact that 34% of all convictions for sexual assaults are from foreign nationals when they make a representation of 11% of the population. We know Afghans and Eritreans are 20 times... I've never heard that word before, are 20 times more likely to be convicted sexual offenders. And Baroness Casey's own report said that we are seeing more and more illegal migrants coming up in these child rape gangs that have been investigated. So he swears here, he says, these B five dots, S, need to be detained and they need to be deported immediately and as quickly as possible because they are a threat to our safety as a nation. Mr. Gullis received a rousing round of applause as he then focused on the debate on Stoke-on-Trent. He added that Stoke-on-Trent was a member of this voluntary asylum dispersal scheme, a Labour-led council under a Labour government, signed us up and meant that we are taking thousands of illegal migrants into our city because ultimately Stoke-on-Trent is cheap on housing and therefore that was being picked up by Stoke-on-Trent taxpayers. And actually, it was legal action from the then Conservative-led City Council of Stoke-on-Trent that forced the then Conservative government's hand in saying that every area should have their share because it was only Glasgow and the whole of Scotland that was part of this voluntary scheme. In fact, we had more in the entirety of Stoke-on-Trent than the entirety of Wales. It was absolutely